Today we have the first Netflix actress from Miami that we've had. So I actually did a pod for a while in Chicago. We had someone who's been on. He's actually the Pumbaa in my story, but he's really cool. So I interviewed him in Chicago. But yeah, Miami-wise, we had Brittany Brave, who's like a great comedian.
She's amazing, yes.
But you're the first actress. Okay. And so love to, you know, kind of discover more about that world. But yeah, thanks for coming on. And I know you're true Miami. You know, you definitely rep your city. So I think you were kind of excited to, you know, be a local voice.
100%, yes.
And so everyone knows. So Natalie, it's one of her big leading roles was for 20 Somethings, which is like a reality show in Austin, right?
Yes.
And we'll kind of get into that and like how that happened and what that was like. But yeah, we usually start these out pretty pretty simple. So you're born in Miami, or what part of Miami?
Yeah, so I want to start off by saying that I had no idea you knew about the show. I was just like, oh, he invited...
I have to do a little research.
Which I love, and I'm like, okay, cool. So like, it's going to be easier than I thought. I was like, oh my God, does this guy even know me? Cool. Yeah, so I was born in Miami. I grew up in Kendall. I'm a Kendall girl. If you're from Miami, you know what that means. Represent always. We love Kendall girlies. But yeah, I grew up in Miami most of my life. And then I lived in a few different cities for like a short term period. But most of my life has been in Miami.
Okay, nice. And then how early did you start studying acting? Was it like, how early was that?
So I did acting in high school. My parents were like, yeah, you're not going to be an actor. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we own a business. Like, you're going to do something that makes money. And I kind of went with their opinion and that route. So I actually got a business degree from University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. So I never really did acting as like a degree, but then I started doing acting on the side while I was getting my business degree, and I started becoming very successful. So then I started doing acting like kind of after college.
Okay, so...
professional acting.
Right, so you started out in, was it more theater at first?
Or, yes, yeah. So I did theater in high school, and then I did like one show in college that was also theater. Then I graduated, and then I started doing theater. Then I got on the reality show. Then I started doing film and TV.
Okay, so that was a big moment when you got the reality show. Now, how did that just fall in your lap? Were you doing a lot of work to get that? Or
so, do you know Big Brother?
Yeah.
So I'm obsessed with Big Brother. That's like been my dream since like forever. Like competition show. Like I just love it. And so I would apply. I applied 1 year, and the casting director was like, look, you're really funny. I think you belong on TV, but we just don't have a spot for you this year at Big Brother. So then a few years pass by, and I get like a random call from like this LA number, and I'm like, what the hell? And it was the same casting director years later, and he's like, hey, I have another show. I remembered you from like all these years. Like, do you want to apply? I was like, oh my God. I was like, yeah, and I applied, and then I got it. So.
Wow. So I guess what's the lesson here? That it pays to go after what you want, and even if you forget about it, it'll come back to get you eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Like, put yourself out there because you never know.
Yeah. So that you must have made a huge impression on him. So what do you think it was that he remembered you after so long? Like,
okay. Everyone says this, but I truly mean it. Like, be yourself. Like, I was so crazy. I think I, like, did my video, like, on top of my kitchen counter in pajamas. Like something so crazy, like so random, like out of the box that nobody else would do. But that's just like my vibe. And I think that like stood out because he's like, wow, this girl is so authentically wild, but it's like real, you know,
right.
That kind of vibe.
He must have lobbied for you to be the choice, but then maybe someone else wasn't feeling it. Like,
that's
probably what it was. So you were his pick, but something happened where he wasn't able to get it done. So
yeah.
All right. So everyone pretty much has heard of Big Brother. 20 Somethings. How does that compare? Is it very similar concept?
So 20 Somethings isn't a competition show. It's more like a personality based show. You know, Friends. Everyone knows.
Yeah,
Friends.
Of course. Yeah.
So like that was the inspiration for that reality TV show. They wanted like a group of people to be friends and to like move to a different city and kind of figure out their adult lives.
So. Okay. So everyone was new to Austin in the show?
Everyone was new to Austin. We had some people from Texas, but for the most part, we were new to
this
Austin.
This reminds me, I've actually been in a scenario like that. I studied abroad in Sydney, and it was a whole house of just people doing study abroad.
Yeah.
So it was like one of those frat. Right. It was like, it was not a frat house because they had guys and girls. So yeah. It was kind of similar. It was like all of us new to town.
Yeah.
In a house.
Fun.
So
right?
I lived that, and it was very fun.
It
yeah.
It was fun.
All the social dynamics and everything.
Yes.
So that was one season, right? So
one season, yeah.
And that sort of kind of gave you some credibility in this space and
right.
led yeah. up to other open doors. Yeah. And then. I guess regarding that show, you know, I guess what was your role in it?
I was an ensemble member, so I was like one of the core people in the show. And then they kind of followed my journey and like my dating life and like kind of like growing into myself. I got my first tattoo there. You like it? Are you,
okay, a skull.
Yeah.
All right. What inspired that?
I've always wanted a tattoo, and my parents are very strict, and like I never had the chance, and I was just like, I'm on a reality show, let me get something to remember it. And I was just like, whatever, let's do it. Also, there's an episode on Friends where one of the characters gets a tattoo, so it was also like, you know.
Sure, whatever motivates you. So it was not all scripted, it was like actually a reality, or was it scripted?
So I'm allowed to say it's fine. The way reality works is they work around your reality, but then they do shape some moments that are sometimes produced. But for the most part, you know, it is our lives. It is ourselves. We're not playing a character. So.
Right. Okay. They're just kind of following you around when you go
yes.
in public.
So like they'll set up a date and it's like free for all. Okay, go date this man. We're going to watch you. And I was like, okay.
Does he know?
He knows because he has a son of Connor. So yeah, he knows. But it's like, you know, I feel like when a camera's watching you, are you really 100% going to have like a normal date? Probably not. Like the guy was super nervous, you know?
Right, right, right.
So it would kind of ruin the chemistry. It's kind of like the camera would cock block, but whatever.
Yeah. At the end of the day, still it's a date. So you still figure out, but I guess it definitely kind of makes it, it feels like work. I don't know. How did it end? How did your date?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you're like, back to the cameras.
You gotta watch the show because there are some moments that are.
Yeah. You know. Okay. So everyone's gotta watch the show. And so, is your family very supportive now that you've become more successful?
That was guys.
Is it the kind of show you don't want to show your mom? Like,
I mean, there is. Yeah, there's an episode in a sex shop. There's like we talk about female. Yeah, it's one of those shows where like you just can't care. My parents kind of died inside a little bit, but, you know, it's been years, and they support me, and they saw benefits that came out of it. And not only that, a lot of people reached out saying, you know, you inspired me and stuff, so there's positives, you know.
For sure. And I think even comedians go through this where there's moments where they get real raunchy.
Exactly.
It's just part of the whole act. It's part of the space, you know. Sometimes... Yeah, you do whatever you have to do to entertain. And obviously, as many entertainers know, like it's all about surprise and superiority. So you want to make others feel superior.
Ooh, SS, I love that.
So that's all about, you know, I took some acting classes before. Yeah, so it's all about kind of, at least comedy-wise, is half of comedy is the feeling of superiority, right? Mm-hmm. So even if you're laughing at like something that you did a while back, you're like, ha, 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 I was so stupid. Like, you're feeling superior, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of that's the little chuckles you get throughout the day. It's a little feeling of elevation, you know? But you make others feel, you know, kind of... People laugh at what happens to you. So is there any other, you know, face plants, bombs, things that happened in that show that created laughter?
Oh, my God.
I'm sure there's lots.
I was known for, like, the one-liners. I did a lot of one-liners. Honestly, thinking back, I'm like, I should have made merch with my, like, sayings. But not really. I don't know. Maybe nobody would buy them. But yeah, no, there is a lot of.
So what's one saying that you like? You put on a shirt. Like, what's an example?
I mean, it's inappropriate. Can I say it? It's fine. It's like.
I guess say an example of it. I guess. Or...
I'll just say the saying and then not say context. Okay, so one of my sayings was like, "Do you know what it's like to have the seaquarium in your pants?"
A seaquarium in your pants. Okay.
Like, yeah, you gotta
I mean that's not
context.
Like that's not like a swear word, so we're good.
It's not, but the con, you know.
Anyway, that's what a lot of entertainments like that. What do you actually like watch? By the way, like what do you love to like watch? Do you watch
reality
a lot of
TV
reality?
Or...
Yeah, you watch. Do you watch reality? Or
I do. I mean, as an actor, you know, I like real. Not that it's not real, but like TV and film, more scripted work versus unscripted. But I do watch Love Is Blind and like, there's another one I really like. What is it? The ultimatum. I like studying relationships, you know, and like all that stuff because I find it fascinating. Yeah.
Do you think you could be a therapist in another life?
Honestly, I am very interested. Probably a neurologist. I'm really interested in the mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've also studied a lot of like psychology, neuroscience.
Yeah, I like that.
For some reason, like I just kind of like gravitated towards that field. But yeah, so like when it comes to the character journey, I did read a lot about like, you know, Joseph Campbell, stuff like that, mythology.
Oh, yeah.
I love that stuff. So like the character arc, you know, and I love studying great characters. So it seems like part of your character is to be a little wild. And then where do you feel like you are on your character journey? So you've done the shows, you've done some other stuff. Maybe is there any highlights from after the show that you've done?
So that's a really good question because I do feel like I've transformed. I think the show really like helped me grow as a person and as an actor, because it's when you watch yourself on camera, you see every angle, you see every vulnerability. Like, you know what I mean? Like you really analyze yourself, mm-hmm. and I think that experience was crazy, but it also made me realize like areas I need to grow in my life and where I want to take my career. Because I do love being funny, I do love being wild and all that, but I also want to be taken seriously sometimes. It's a problem sometimes when you're a comedian. You're like,
yeah.
You could say the most traumatizing thing and then people start laughing and you're like, oh, but I meant it real. I actually meant that. You know, I wanted you to empathize, but it happens because people start thinking of you in a certain,
exactly,
in a certain way. So I guess to break out of that mold, I've done like different things. Actually today, independent short film I did dropped today on YouTube. It's like a horror film, suspense, very not comedic. Well, it could be comedic, whatever, not really, but it's fine. Yeah, that film dropped today. I have done another film that's actually union film that I filmed in Connecticut. It is also a horror film. It's called Clifton Park. I'm really excited for that. It's in post-production. I did another show. I've just been doing a lot of independent work, a lot of independent film work.
Okay, define like independent, like what that means. Really.
So it's like filmmakers who are auteurs and make it themselves. They produce
lower budget.
They produce, write, do all those things. I've also act in sitcoms. I was on an episode of American Auto, which is I think it's on Peacock. I did recently an episode with Elizabeth Banks and what's the girl that dated Justin Timberlake? I'm sorry, I'm horrible. Jessica Biel.
There's probably a few. Oh, yeah.
Jessica Biel. So I recently did a TV show with Jessica Biel and Elizabeth Banks, which was great because I got to act with them, which was fucking crazy because they're like A-list actors, and that was a beautiful experience. But, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So and by the way, so you're obviously still at the start of your career. Would you say that? Or where do you define yourself?
I do think so. I think I'm starting off. I've only done like co-star roles on TV. I'm still in the independent sphere. So I am in... I have a manager, but I'm in starting off, I think so, for TV and film.
Right.
For sure.
Unless you were like a prodigy child actor, though, that's a whole different thing you have to like deal with. But
yes.
Yeah, you have a lot of avenues open to you now. Miami, obviously. So we actually had there was a great film festival. There's many good film festivals here. And I did go to one in Overtown where they had like a bunch of producers. They had like workshops for like producing, workshops for directing, workshops for people. So there's a scene here, but yeah. Pretty much everyone was talking about how they have to fly to New York to do all of the.
Yeah.
So how often have you found anything in Miami, or are you most of these gigs you're traveling a lot for?
So the two gigs I did on TV, one of them was in LA, the other one was in New York. So I did have to travel. I think for like independent work, like how I was talking about, like there is a scene here where you could do like independent work, but you know. It's not the biggest scene, but there is a community.
Right, so. Okay. Well, yeah, Miami has a lot of history of great films.
Yes.
Everyone knows Scarface, Bad Boys, stuff like that. Any kind of stuff that you can recommend, or stuff that people maybe in Miami haven't heard about that's actually filmed here? Anything that, from your awareness?
There is a film called Mountains that was done here in Miami, produced here. I think it was distributed theatrically, like internationally. It became very huge. It's a story about a Haitian family in Miami, and it's really good, and I would recommend.
Mountains. Okay.
You can stream it. I forgot what platform, but you can totally stream it, and it's a really good film.
Great. Yeah, that's a great suggestion. Because, yeah, Miami, you know, it's something where the pandemic kind of changed acting a lot. I have some acting friends.
Yes. Yeah.
Where kind of democratized it, so people can random places could audition and, you know, actually be taken seriously, and a lot of talent got discovered that way. Do you think, how much is still auditioning virtual versus live?
So I would say like 80% is virtual.
80% is still virtual?
Like a lot is virtual. You can live anywhere and tape from anywhere in the country, so, or the world, honestly. It is, especially your first initial audition, is definitely like virtual.
Self-tape. Right.
Yeah.
And then if you're in the next rounds, you go travel to go,
right,
go there.
Right, chemistry test or a screen test, yeah.
Okay, so then that leads to the question, do you have any secrets about how to audition well on like on virtual camera, like anything special that people
Yes, know? That's a good question. So it is hard because sometimes you don't have, number one thing is have a reader and especially another actor to work with you so that you can kind of bounce off of them. So when you're self-taping, I would say have someone who's an actor reading off camera with you versus like staring at a wall and like doing someone over Zoom. Because in the pandemic, we would have to audition with like someone over Zoom. So that became popular. But I really do think as an actor, like energy is so important when you're acting. And I think having like another actor across from you really helps.
Mm-hmm.
Also lighting, make sure your lighting is good, that you're lit well, that you have a clean background, and to have fun and try different things. Because the casting director sees so many videos all the time.
Right.
So it's like, I think the first 10 seconds they know.
Yeah, and it's like your raw, like sometimes your raw energy doesn't necessarily translate, or even raw beauty, right, doesn't translate over camera, webcam. So it's more about kind of the content, like being creative or,
yes,
you know, doing something a little different.
You said it perfectly.
Versus just being, you know, whoever you are, being, right, you know, Eva Mendez and just being like, they'll just say yes, but like you just have to come up with something creative that you actually say, or like it's different than your just vibe is like that, you know?
Because, you know, acting is kind of an interpretive art. You're not really creating in a way, like you're interpreting someone's art, their words. But in a way, if you do create something out of it, like if you kind of like do something that you created yourself that you think no one other actor would do because it's you, that helps, I think.
Yeah, from what I've learned about acting, it's all about playing in the space between the lines. So there's obviously a whole lot of, everyone can say the same lines very differently and bring out different tonalities. And the way, that's kind of the freedom you play with, right, as an actor.
Right.
So does that ever feel like, you ever feel limited by that? Have you ever thought about screenwriting or doing other creative things?
Yes, I'm actually in film school. I had to take a break because I booked a show, so I couldn't do school and the show. But I took classes for screenwriting, film production. My next semester will be directing, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because like as an actor, you're just sitting and waiting for someone to give you a job or to think.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, we got to go out there and create our own, like create our own work. It's like, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, especially you're more empowered that way. Not everyone has the initiative to do it.
Yeah.
Now, where does one study film in Miami? Is there any shout outs?
There's a few. So I'm going to Miami-Dade College right now, the film program. I love it. I think it's so good. The professors are amazing. There's also the New York Film Academy. I have a few friends from WEG. I don't know if you guys have heard of WEG. They're a great film collective and production house here in Miami. A lot of the people from WEG, they work in the New York Film Academy in Miami Beach. And yeah, those are the two places I would recommend.
Okay.
Then, has a program, but I don't know much about
it. Right. But you have to be in their undergraduate, graduate, or anyone can just join in like the graduate.
And Dade, you mean Miami Dade?
In UM. Like.
Oh, UM, I have no idea. I'm not sure if you could be non-degree seeking and take classes. I'm not sure. I know in Miami Dade you can. New York Film Academy, obviously, yeah. You can.
Okay. And then are you a SAG actor? Like SAG? Are you like part of SAG?
Oh my God. everyone who's listening to this has heard me talk about this. I will say this. I am being forced to join the union. So not right now, but I will be.
Forced to join the union.
That's all I'm going to say.
Wow, I touched on a touched a nerve there. No, but I thought that was kind of in the past. I think a lot of us followed the whole strike thing. Yeah. I actually even went over to LA. Like, I prayed for the activists. Like,
you
I
did
prayed,
not.
And then they changed, and it worked. The Disney. I was like, I went at the Disney people. So I went up to Pride Rock. So there's like a rock there that's inspired the Lion King.
Oh.
Yeah. So like I kind of have a whole spiritual thing over there. But
wait, that's cool.
Yeah, I used to dream about having my own reality show. I mean, maybe in the future someday, but
yeah,
it's kind of like you have to develop a lot, you know, a premise. I mean, YouTube is fun. I think I see. I have a lot of role models. I mean, there's some good YouTubers in Miami. It's always fun when you can build like a YouTube channel that you're completely in control of, but that still makes money. So
right.
Have you ever thought about creating like YouTube shorts or anything like that?
Oh, Simeon, man, I had a podcast. I did all this stuff. And then I think for me, I needed a break. I think the reality show, bro, like the amount of perception I got from that was like so much that I don't think I was ready for it. And so like, I think I needed to work on myself and my mental health before I continued in that route.
So you were doing that before you went to 20-somethings?
No, I did 20-somethings, and then I launched a podcast with a cast member from there, and it was really good. It was really successful. Oh my God. Like, my digital footprint is not good. I'm like, I look back at those recordings and those podcasts, and I'm like, Natalie, why am I saying so much? It's hard navigating. When you're like a comedic, entertaining person, it's hard navigating how much is too much, if that makes sense. And I felt like I was saying so many things about my personal life that I'm like, do I actually like doing this? Like, right, at what cost?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
at what
yeah.
cost am I going to entertain the masses?
Yeah, you lose like, your dignity a little bit at some point.
Yeah, yeah. And then also, when you're doing a bit, people don't know if it's a joke or if it's real. And then I start being associated with things where I'm like, guys, that was clearly a joke, you know? So I think I needed to grow tougher skin before I continue doing that stuff. But it is something that I have been slowly coming back towards, you know, thinking about.
Well, that's a podcast, but yeah, I guess, was it, I mean, it's video based.
Is something cooking?
Smells, right? Maybe it's next door.
Oh, okay. I'm like, are we going to die?
Yeah, no, I know I promised you chili. I'm sorry, I got chilies and more like a Sunday thing.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I was so excited.
I know, I might have some leftovers for you. Anyway, we'll try to. Yeah, so when it comes to, like, creating, you know, a premise.
Oh, that's what you meant. You meant, like, more like.
No, it's a strong smell that's going on here.
Yeah, it smells like this, right?
I think. Anyhow, but, yeah, I mean, I guess for anyone out there who's maybe on the fence or tipping their toe into, like, production of some sort of, you know, YouTube thing, do you have any words of encouragement or just, like.
Yes, just start.
Just
do it. Like, I know you're going to be scared. And you're going to overthink and you're going to be like, what am I doing? I'm a failure. You're not. You're just starting. Like, when you're starting, you're going to fail. That means you're making it. Like, keep going. Keep pushing. Who cares what people think? Cringe is good. Like, if you're cringe, you're great. Like, who cares? That's my advice.
No, I think that's great.
Like, because I'm someone that really is critical to myself and that hinders me. So just start. Do it. Why am I keep looking at my mic like I'm talking to them?
Like, you're talking like to a little child.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Do it, and if you're passionate about it, just keep going. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, and I think that's a recurrent theme. You know, a lot. We've had some very motivational people on the pod who are just always just saying, just do it, because, you know, in life you have to test a lot of possibilities, you know, to end up with some good stuff. But what stops most of us is just kind of like self-judgment and you know, fear of judgment. So. And so you kind of throw that all out the door when you do comedy, right? You get to that level of where you're just like, you're kind of just like, you're like a barreling train of just like saying whatever.
Exactly.
And then you're feeding on the laughs and all the, so.
And even if people don't laugh, like, it's fine. Eventually they will. That's what I'm trying to say. Like,
they'll get it. It'll click eventually.
When I've done stand-up comedy, I've said a joke. Nobody laughs, and I just say, oof, tough crowd. Then they laugh. You know what I mean?
It's all like, right. You just gotta, it's all about how you react.
Yes.
And then
you see how you're saying when
I'm trying
to say.
Keep your cool. Exactly. So that's like having composure, but also like carrying a sort of vibe, right? Like keeping the vibe high and like noticing and then saying what you need to say to lift it back up. But that's all very intuitive. So that's like something that just happens with a lot of practice, right? Mm-hmm. So you do. When's the last time you did stand up in Miami?
Oh, it's been a long time. Yeah, I think I might start doing improv again because I've gotten rusty, but my friend Steph, she's an improv teacher. She's amazing, guys. If you ever want to do improv, let me know. I think she's called Dale. It's funny. I need to look it up. But she's great.
Dale?
Yeah, I think. Let me see what's her name.
Okay.
Oh. Her Instagram is Dale Steph Funny. Dale, S-T-E, funny. She's amazing. Okay.
So just really everyone check her out. Yeah. Do you have any other inspirations? Like, so you grew up in Kendall, right? Miami. Yeah. When you think Miami actress, Miami actors, like, what do you think? Like, what kind of come, especially in your childhood, maybe, like, what kind of came to mind?
I mean, it's hard because I really did not see growing up Miami, like, actors ever. Even in Hollywood now, I'm like, but we're out here. We're going to be the ones. We're going to be the Miami role models. Me, Gabe, all these people, all my friends. Who are actors, I feel like, yeah, we gotta be our own role model sometimes.
So you're saying there's not a famous movie star from Miami, like actually from
there
Miami?
There is. I think Natalie Morales is her name. She actually went to FIU.
Oh, really?
And she's a very successful actress. But growing up, I didn't see that. Right. You know? Growing up was more different actors, but, you know.
So what made you love film when you were younger? Were there any specific shows?
Okay. The Godfather Part 2. When Sofia Coppola's character dies. She gets shot to death in front of her father, and then, the actor playing her dad, Michael, literally like screams and like drool comes out of his face and like he feels the pain. And I saw my dad crying for like the first time. And I'm like, my dad has emotions? No, I'm kidding. But I was like, oh my God, the power of acting, you know? And like, that was a really beautiful moment because I was like, wow, like storytelling is so powerful. Like, it just keeps us in touch with our humanity. And, like, that's really deep for a little kid, but yeah. I truly found that.
No, it's always like, powerful when you see a parent cry. Like,
yeah.
My mom cries really easily at movies. I'm always like, Mom, are you okay? Like, so what's going on? Like, it's like, she's just like, yeah, I can't help myself. It's
I know. Like,
some people are easy criers at movies. What's the movie you cried the most to?
Ooh, wow. That's so hard.
I know. Like, well, just a random one, maybe.
There's this movie, it's not gonna make you sob, but it hits you right in the freaking gut. I don't know if you've seen it, Paris, Texas. It's like an 80s movie.
Oh.
Wim Wenders, he's like an artsy director. I don't know. One of those.
It's like directors. A Western?
It's like an Americana Western, yeah, in a way. It's like about a relationship. It's just very, it'll hit you in the gut. Yeah, it's about a relationship, and I don't know. Really
nice. Cool. What? I think it's all good ideas.
Yearning. If you like Yearning, guys, check it out.
Who likes Yearning? Well, it's always good to have some ideas for movies because there's so much out there. It's become so different. And I think I was talking to someone the other day about how, someone had like a Harry Potter mug at my job. And like, we were talking about Harry Potter. Yeah, I was one of those kids. I was reading under the covers, like hiding. Like,
me too.
Because I had to read. Everyone kind of agrees. They chuckle. They're like, yeah, you're one of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're like, the world is so different now. There's just so much, and it's like so short form, and so it's a different world now.
It's so
like,
different.
Who knows if that'll ever happen again? Like, kids being glued to like a book series like that. But there's so much out there. Sometimes it can be hard to find out to like gravitate towards the right thing for you now, and so many options. Right. It's like dating, there's so many options, it's like becomes even more.
Oh my God, yeah.
So that's where referrals from friends, recommendations. So yeah, like everyone, I think sometimes I like watching something because someone told me about it, right? Or a friend recommended it. So I think that's how I pick a lot of what I watch sometimes. So I'll
check. I think so too.
Yeah, it's nice. You have to, how else do you decide these days, Like at least when someone recommends something, you can talk to them afterward about it. Be like, oh, actually, something like you feel like you're investing in that relationship.
Like a book club.
Exactly. Yeah. Like if it's something that's like shared with others, then it feels like it less of a time wasted, and you have that in common with people. So
what about you? What's a movie that like you like or makes you cry? Do you cry at movies?
Do I cry at movies? No. Like I have a journal on my phone like for like all my tears. It's been a while. It's been it's been real dry. Around COVID I was crying a lot.
You've been driving.
I have some memories of I cried all my tears like around COVID time.
Cool.
No, but I'm an old school guy. Like I still like Good Will Hunting. I mean, I know like that's so random,
iconic.
I grew up in Boston, near Boston for a while, live in Boston for a while. Yeah. And that, I just love the dynamic with like Robin Williams and Matt Damon. Like, so I know it's so like cliche to say that, but not everyone says Good Will Hunting. Or right. So like, I do like that. Yeah, such a good theme. Yeah, I love comedy. I still watch Everybody Loves Raymond like all the time.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, I love that kind of like family comedy. It's very, it's very soothing because like my family watches it. So it just kind of feels like I'm sitting with the fam. So those are, I love sitcoms in that sense. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you like sitcoms.
Yes.
So what's your dream? I guess I'll let you lay it out. Say, all right, so within 5 years, because I love that, it's a good timeline, what would be the best case scenario for you? Just put it out there.
Best case scenario for me is I am a working actor with a sustainable wage, number one, but I would love to be a series regular in any TV show or like a sitcom or something. Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
In 5 years. Okay. 5 years is a lot, though.
It's a lot.
So maybe I will win an Oscar by then. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, hey,
dream big. Dream big. All right.
Yeah, okay. Taking it back, in 5 years, universe, you hear me, I will be winning an Oscar.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
the new Mikey Madison. Okay,
I get to come to the ceremony.
Yes.
So there you go. So I think part of dreaming, I also was listening to this podcast about, yeah, some people just don't dream or don't go after things. And I think it's easy to just stop doing that at all. And I'm in sales as well. And in sales, you kind of do want to like go big, you know, you want to like always start big, you know, and then work your way back. You know, I think there's an element there for setting your goals too. So when you have an exciting goal like having an Oscar, then that will just have you kind of open your mind a little bit more to more opportunities.
Yes.
Because there are many, many ways that may happen, right? But I think it's good to start with that goal. And by the way, now that you shared it on a podcast, you can't undo that, right? So
I cannot.
You're going to be on. Yeah, we'll have to see
so
what happens.
So in 5 years, you can drop this footage and be
we'll
like,
we'll wait 5 years to drop it.
She manifested it with me. There we go.
We'll do a highlight of this and be like, hey, we told you so.
You'll see me.
But yeah, I don't think anyone from Miami, true Miami, has had an Oscar.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Maybe Oscar Isaac? I don't know.
So what do you think is, one question, what do you think is, I guess, do you think Latinas in acting are perceived differently? Or do you think, is there any still sort of like a stereotype? Or especially when you go to New York, is there something that you notice there? Or what would you describe like what it's like?
This is totally an hour long conversation, but yes, 100%. I think even just statistically looking, like Latinas are the least represented on TV and film. Like we, under any type of ethnicity or anything, we're like the lowest. And the problem is, I think, is we need more representation when it matters with like writers and directors and producers. Like we're very not present in the industry at the moment, so we get things that are very like stereotypical, like how Hollywood views us kind of vibe. And it's hard because it's like, you live in Miami, you know, Latinos come in every shade and every personality and every, like, there's so many different countries and so many different like nuances, complexities and all these things. So it's like, it's kind of hard because there is, you know, I mean, for a while, I had to, like, talk to my manager because, or, like, people in general, because I'd be getting, like, roles that were very, you know, like, the maid, like, or even immigrant. And I'm like, there are so many actors who can portray a character like that because representation matters authentically versus me, where I have to put on, an accent. Like, because I speak Spanish, but you can tell I was born here. Like, you can tell my accent isn't, like, super perfectly, Hispanic. They can't tell.
Can you do, like, other accents? Can you do, like, an English accent? Really?
I can, but I would need to, I need to
prep
work
yourself,
it. But yes, I can, of course. That's what theater helps with. But, yeah, I do think, I don't know, it is hard. It is hard for us sometimes. There is a stereotype, and, like, I don't know. It's kind of boring.
Well.
It kind of sucks.
Yeah, blame it on Made in Manhattan, right? You have to.
Oh my, throwback! Stop. That
well, was, that's what you're talking. You're being perceived as a maid. No, I mean,
100%.
Well, the thing is, like,
that
obviously,
one was actually better.
Yeah. So they're obviously the whole ecosystem. You know, until more Latinos are directors, screenwriters, funding films.
Exactly.
You know, those are the people in power, right? So until there's more Latinos in that field, in those kind of seats, then there'll always be a little something there, you know?
The thing that just drives me crazy, and I just gotta say it, is like when we have a writer who's clearly not Latino or in any way, and then they're writing Spanglish. It's so cringe. It's not how we speak. Like the way they do it is sprinkled. So I think I was watching, I think, Riverdale one time, and like the character who plays Veronica, she's Brazilian, so she's Latina, and her dad was, you know, Brazilian, I guess, on the show, but he was doing Spanglish, and it was so like not the way we speak, like, hija, give me the cup. And, like, it was just like so random. Like the sprinkle of Spanish words felt so not natural, and I'm like, we need help. We need to do something here because this is like not, this is not real. It just feels so like, I don't know.
ChatGPT. Like,
yes, ChatGPT. Yes, you said it perfectly. Literally, yeah.
Well, perfect. Time for you to step up and write some screenplays, 100%. Direct some stuff. Yes. I mean, yes. I think it'll, you know, it just takes a few people leading the way. And I think the more that the acting classes and the communities are attended. I did take some acting classes in San Francisco. I may do, you know, I may be good for another round. What do you think is the number one thing? Say someone out there randomly takes like an entry level acting class. Like, what do you think the number one thing someone learns from doing that?
I think the number one thing would be to just be present. Like acting is really about just being present, removing anything you have in your head that's not in the moment right then and there, because that's like acting. The good acting is when the actor is alive in the scene and they truly believe it. So as long as like, you can like be in acting class in your life, like if you like right now, I'm talking to you, but I'm thinking of a million different things, or I'm like fidgeting something. You know what I mean? Really? Like I'm not being a good actor right now. Not that I have to act, but like if I just stop and I look at you and I just talk and we're present, like this could be a scene. You know what I mean? It's like just learning to shut your brain down and just be present.
Yeah, right.
That's what I would say.
Well, that's great. I mean, I think a lot of people in Miami do yoga, so maybe people can look at acting as another challenge. But acting, I would agree. So I think it's important to really believe the part. And then if you have a million monologues going on, then you're not really being the person, right?
Right.
So you're, the most being the person is like animalistic, like you're just there.
Impulse,
you know?
Yes, like what comes out.
So yeah, I mean, it's exciting because... yeah, I'm not letting go of my... I had a lot more dreams when I was way younger to, like, do
me
acting
too.
And stuff. You know, I think sometimes you just grow up a little bit and get more realistic. But I'm not... What I will say is, like, a stretch goal for me in 5 years is, like, some sort of, like, YouTube channel, you know. Something
I see
fun.
It.
I love travel,
yes,
so...
Yes, I see it.
And I think, you know, kind of being present... And I want some ideas from you, maybe. Like, if you had to just do a YouTube channel and it was about, like, travel or, like, different quests or, like... What do you think is, like... a simple theme that would like pay, that would be entertaining.
Okay, well, you're asking me, and like I'm a huge foodie. I'm obsessed with food, so
okay.
For me, it would be like travel and like maybe try exotic foods, but you know what? Give it a twist. Try exotic foods while you're like bungee jumping. Like do like an extreme adrenaline sport, and then try like an exotic food at the same time.
Okay.
Something out of this box, you know, because there's a lot of people who do food stuff.
Right, so you have to combine, it's kind of like cold plunge and coffee. You got to do like adrenaline.
You're so...
Well, cold plunge and coffee, there you go.
Right? I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, yeah, it's a huge thing here, but yeah.
Okay.
Adrenaline and then some sort of culture like...
Yes.
Like reward. You know?
Go to Costa Rica.
Okay.
Go zip lining and have... What's food from Costa Rica? Because I do know. Have like... Arenita. I don't know if that's Nicaraguan, but whatever. Let's just say, like, one of their foods.
Okay.
Go ziplining and eat at the same time.
Nice.
Because then you get, like, the double pleasure of, like, oh, I'm doing a new sport, and then the food.
Nice. Okay.
And then grade it.
I'll make it happen in 5 years. I think that's a good... Yeah, no, of course. That's easier for me than your Oscar or whatever. You will have to work for that.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's going to take a lot of blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen. So, yeah. All right. So... Nearing the end, last few questions. So I love to ask about, we were just talking about food, but like obviously Miami.
Oh my God, yeah.
There's lots going on. Some people have opinions about it, but I would say overall, we are like one of the top cities in America. We have some great stuff. Where do you like to go? What's your jam?
Okay, so I'm half Nicaraguan. There's this Nicaraguan place in 87th Avenue called Spotted Gallo. You can get the best food ever. Spotted gallo.
Gallo.
Gallo. Like chicken.
Gallo is a chicken?
Hen. It's like hen or chicken.
I think it's hen. Gallo is hen, right, guys? Oh my God, my Spanish speakers don't kill me. Yeah, gallo. Hen.
Okay.
All okay, right. Anyway.
I think you're right.
You should go and like get the platter that you can try all the different Nicaraguan foods. Guys, I'm telling you, if, especially you, you're not from here. You're not Nicaraguan at all. You're going to be obsessed.
I've been to Nicaragua, actually. Yeah.
Really?
Did like a service trip when I was younger in college.
Oh,
yeah.
Isn't it beautiful? Did it you like beautiful. The volcanoes?
Yeah, we went up. We were in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
You do travel a lot.
Well, my family just kind of travels a lot. So.
Are you a pastor's kid?
My dad was, he's an engineer, but we moved around. We went to France every summer.
Oh my God, beautiful.
They had us travel a lot. But so you're half Nicaraguan. What's the other half?
Guess.
What, Cuban?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Miami, everyone.
Kendall.
That's
how I know. If you said Doral, you know, I would say something else.
Colombian.
Or Venezuela. Right, or Venezuela.
Yeah, Cuban, Nicaraguan, yeah.
Okay, very cool.
Cuban food, I mean, you can find it anywhere here in Miami. It's so good.
Yeah, so people definitely have a lot of options there. Now, what comes to Miami, people you look up to, role models? We've had the mayor. We've had a lot of top people in town. Anyone you can recommend? Any cool people come to mind, like role model-wise?
I guess, like, I have my community in theater here is, like, definitely people I can look up to. I work a lot with a director named Victoria Collado. I don't know if people who are here in Miami, if you guys heard about the Empato experience, it's a show I did here that was 8 months long.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure some people recognize it, but she's one of my role models. There's also a writer I work with a lot, Vanessa Garcia, another role model. Carmen Pelaez is also another theater artist, writer that I really look up to. I think just like a lot of women in my industry that I look up to.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And then if you had to say, what's Miami's like best, like theater show or something. If people were gonna like actually just do it, try it, check it out or something.
I'm gonna get in trouble. I can't
what?
Say.
What?
I love all of them. There's a few theaters. I'll say this. I'm probably gonna put up the show that I'm in the fall. You guys should come see it. It's Abre Camino Collective's production. It's going to be in a diner in Hialeah, Kush Hospitality, if you guys know Kush. It's called Steven's Love Story. You should come watch it. Come watch me act.
Yes. When does it start?
In the fall. I'm not officially
September,
sure
not
yet.
Sure.
Probably around
where,
that time.
What venue it's going to be at?
It's going to be in a diner called Steven's.
Steven's?
It's in Hialeah. It's under the Kush Hospitality. My words.
Kush.
Hospitality. Yes.
Okay.
So come check it out, guys. We'll have fun.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, that's going to come in a flash.
You better come because definitely. You met me and like you got to support now.
No, I love it. My family loves going to Broadway shows.
Oh, nice.
Still trying to see The Lion King on Broadway.
Yeah. But, like, actually, same. I lived in New York and I worked in Broadway. Never saw it. Like I would sell merchandise on Broadway.
Well, it's fun. They're touring around, you know, so they give you that deadline, you know. They're like only here till like a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
But I think that whole industry is way back to where it used to be. So they're doing really well up in New York and everything. So wow, a lot of ideas for people, stuff to go watch. Congratulations, you earned it. You listened to a podcast that's a little more intellectual. So now you can watch 5 hours of TV.
Exactly.
Check out the show. How long were the episodes for 20 somethings?
I think like for sure less than an hour for sure.
Okay, so you got some solid binging there, still available.
There's like 12 episodes.
Okay. Is there a best episode that people can watch?
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure something where you...
Watch the Halloween episode. I like that one.
Which number is that?
I think it's 6.
All right, watch number 6, 20-something, Halloween.
Wrong, sorry. Yeah.
That'll be the first impression of Natalie on camera, which will be...
God. I'm wearing a wig.
A prelude to the show, which you can go see in the fall. So how fun. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
It's been a real treat. And... yeah, I'll have to have you for one of the true chili nights one of these times.
I know.
Come
I
by.
Was so excited and I love food. When you put, do you want chili in the form? Like, yes. Like, why would I say no?
So it's a Wednesday. The form was originally made for just Sundays. But more importantly, I'm sure we'll be able to host you again sometime. And
awesome.
Look
Thank
forward
you.
To the show. And get working on that Oscar. Okay.
Thank you.
I believe in you. You can do
thank
it.
Thank you so nice. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Awesome.
Oh.